hello again, and thank you for joining us on the Prison Pod. Rob Corbin is with us again, and this is episode 7. I can't believe we're here already. Rob has been really busy this past week. He's been in Central and Northern California for over 6 days. He did 3 different classes, I believe in 3 different facilities, and I hope he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about feelings and expectations at this time of year. So great to have you back again, Rob.
Yeah, thank you, Valerie. Always good to be here. And last week, yeah, actually it was, I did 6 classes total over a period of 6 days and with 3 different prisons. And so I spent 2 days at each prison. And we did, you know, these all-day workshops. It was interesting, you know, going into different prisons, and there's different things happening in different prisons as far as, you know, the process of going in as a volunteer. And then once you're in, you know, the way that you conduct the class, there's little different niches that each prison has. I'll tell you something that was kind of funny that I'll share with you. I don't have a brown card, I was offered, you know, a brown card that gives me the ability to go in unescorted into the yards and stuff. And I just, because of the frequency, I just said, no, you know, I'll pass on it. So I have to have an escort when I go in to, you know, to the different yards. And The funny thing I want to share is one of the prisons at the end of the day, I didn't see any escort around, you know? I went to one of the COs, correctional officers. I said, do I really need an escort to get out of here? And he said, no, man, just, you know, go up to each gate and just rattle the gate. They'll hear the gate. They have ears. They'll hear the gate. And then they can focus in on your badge. And then they'll just, you know, they'll let you go through all the security, you know, by yourself. And so anyway, that's what I did. I didn't know that, you know, you can rattle the gate, they'll hear you, and then they can focus in on their camera or maybe their binoculars or whatever it is. And then they say, oh, yeah, this isn't an inmate, so it's cool to let him out, you know. And then I went out and I went into the next building and then, you know, turned in my alarm. And then I went through another security, which is the last security before, you know, you're considered out of the prison. And I was on my own, you know, doing that stuff. And it was a little bit of a rush. I mean, I said, hey, man, you know, I'm walking around like I'm a correctional officer, even though I'm just a volunteer instructor. But, you know, it was a pretty cool deal. And then I sent an email to that particular prison saying, man, I escorted myself out, you know, I was pretty proud of that. And then the CRM, community resource manager, says, oh, no, man, you weren't supposed to do that. You know, you're supposed to have an escort. And I'm going to get all over the lady that was supposed to escort you. And I said, no, I said, don't do that, man. I said, it was a fun experience, you know, now I know what it's like to feel like I'm a brown card holder, you know? So, cause with a brown card, I could be, you know, doing that every time I go in. So it was kind of a neat deal for me to experience, you know, what it's like. And I felt very comfortable, you know, doing that. So anyway, that was, one of the things one of my experiences this week. Valerie, the other experience that I want to share with you that has happened in the past, but it hasn't been as common as it was this past week. And that was that in 2 of the prisons, I had several men who identified as women who were transgender in several of my classes. One class, I had 4 transgender men or transgender women. Let me ask you, would you refer to a man who identifies as a woman as a transgender man or a transgender woman?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. I believe it is transgender woman.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Male to female.
Yeah, you know, and there may be some men listening to this podcast that are saying, "Oh man, these people don't they don't have a clue what's going on with how to
Well,
address."
it's because they don't identify as being a man. So they're women through, I mean, they identify as women. So I believe the term is transgender woman. I'm going to have to look it up now to make sure. I used to do HIV testing. I should know this, but it's been about 10 years.
But I'll tell you what I did, and I just instinctively did this out of respect for each person in the room when we did what's called a check-in, where we go around the room, everybody gives me their first name, and then, you know, when it comes to forgiving, what feelings are you showing up as this morning? When it comes to feelings about forgiving, and then, you know, we went around the room, and then, you know, we came to this transgender woman, you know, Lucinda, and then one was Grace, you know, and so instead of referring to the group as men, if it's an all male population prison, which this was. Then it was, ladies and gentlemen. I changed the tune, ladies and gentlemen, to properly address the audience. And what was interesting, Valerie, is that when I looked around the room at, we were in a group of around 20 people, and, you know, 16 or 17 are identify as men, the rest women. I noticed that every person in that room had respect for every other person in that room, regardless of how they identified. You know, there was no smirk, or there was no look of, you know, the eyes rolling in the head or something like that, you know, which I kind of expected, but it was the opposite. It was total respect for every person in that room. And then, you know, when during the class we came to a moment where emotions were welcome in that room regarding the past, it was interesting that you know that the transgender women came to men who identify as men to get their emotional support, and they were there to do it, and vice versa. You know, some of the men who identified as men went to the people who identified as women for support as well, and they supported each other with respect, with dignity, with caring, with compassion. And you know, I said to myself, you know, I wish what I saw in here was an example of what should occur on the outside, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the stigmas attached in the outside are removed when you're in side the prison. And I just thought that was really, really, I'm going to use the word admirable, you know, and I just felt humbled by that experience. And I just had a lot of respect because they had respect for everybody, regardless of how they identified. And I just thought it was a unique growing experience for me in the future, so that, that I understand that, you know, in a environment where we are confined, you know, we tend to learn to be united in who we are, and not attach these stigmas, you know, that are often attached on the outside.
So many stigmas, especially when we talk about incarceration. You know, I'm wondering if part of it also may be the type of men that were in your group, because I'm assuming that the men coming into the group are looking for some sort of inner healing. And I think that maybe they have a little bit different perspective on other people. Or do you think that Gen Pop would be the same?
You know, their own healing work, I do remember their own healing work was in regards to the way that they were treated by others and by their parents at a young age when they identified differently in terms of their gender. And a lot of them, you know, had harsh treatment, discipline, I guess I should say, growing up, but it was a different discipline. It was because of their identity of their gender. And that ended up being an emotional wound for them. And some of them, their forgiving had to deal around the way that their parents chose to accept, you know, or didn't accept who they identified with. So that was kind of their struggle in growing up. But, you know,
I wanted to ask a question. Do you find that a lot of problems, especially with men, have to do with their relationships with their fathers?
Oh, it's, you know, it's 99 9/10 of the time. And I'm being literal, Valerie. I'm not being exaggerating. I've been doing this work for 8 years, and I am being literal in that. The most common feelings, and I want to just set the stage for a minute. So when I go in, you know, we do what's called a check-in, where each person, you know, answers the following question: if I were to forgive, who would be the first two people on the list? That's number one. And then what feelings are you willing to take ownership of when you think about those two people on the list? In almost every single case, and I'm not just talking about last week, I'm talking about over the years, a person's father is one of those two people, okay? And the words that are the most commonly used describing feelings about the need to forgive their father is abandonment and neglect. Abandonment and neglect. Fathers who just didn't show up in their role as a father. Fathers who, you know, some of them were incarcerated during their time when they went from being a child to an adolescent to an adult. Some of them, you know, the fathers divorced and they left behind not only their ex-wife, but in some cases their children were considered exes as well. They just didn't want to have communication with that part of their life any longer. They just wanted to cut it off, children or not. You know, some men even went as far as telling me that they would like to forgive their father, but they don't know who their father is. You know, some men have told me they don't know whether their father is dead or alive. You know, I mean, you talking about the raw definition of abandonment and neglect, not knowing whether your father's alive or not. And I got to tell you, this is not the first time that I have heard this from an inmate. I mean, more than I can count on both fingers, I've heard this, and it's just astonishing to me, that we need so much in this world as, you know, young people, guidance, and just basic love, you know, and nurturing. And it's just, you know, so many men are deprived of that. So many men are deprived of that. And there often is a lot of guilt that men have associated with, you know, having a father in their life, but a father who, you know, who instilled upon them what it means to be a man and disciplined them in ways that they should never have been disciplined. And you know, it's just amazing that you know, men who grew up in homes where they had a father and a mother that stayed together and raised them, that they were not treated with the basic tools that they needed, and that for some reason they felt guilt associated with that. And then, you know, that leads to a truth that a lot of men out there, you know, don't think about or just have a hard time accepting. And it's a universal truth. It's not me talking. It's a universal truth. And that is that as children, especially, nothing is our fault as children. Nothing is our fault as children because we are powerless. You know, a 9 or 10 year old child can't physically fight his father, can't disbelieve what he's being told by his father, because that's the only source that we have to be able to find answers to questions. And there are a lot of fathers out there that have neglected that responsibility.
Well, a big thing here too is trust. You know, if you can't go to that person, how can you trust them? And then that affects other relationships with other men as they grow. And also stepfathers. A lot of times there is a good second parent that comes in, but the child is afraid to bond with them because of their previous relationship of fear of abandonment.
Right, right. You're exactly right. And, you know, for better or worse, I mean, stepfathers coming in as the new role of a father can either be a great thing or a terrible thing. You know, it's it's the mother's choice of relationship, and it's how that stepfather wishes to take the responsibility of being a stepfather. And so, you know, it's a good point you brought up, because abandonment and neglect are not always, you know, with as a result of a biological father, but as a result of whoever that person is that takes the role of being responsible for teaching us, you know, right from wrong, and teaching us by example what nurturing and love is, and so forth and so on. So, and then, you know, sometimes it's an uncle, you know, that takes that responsibility. And so, you know, some men reach out to bond with those individuals, and they turn out to be sexual predators. I mean, let me tell you, Valerie, you know, sexual abuse, is, you know, when someone thinks about sexual abuse on the streets, they almost automatically think about women. You know, and let me tell you, I learned the truth in the years I've been doing this prison work, that it's just as prevalent among men being sexually abused as women. And you know, that's where, and that's where the guilt comes in. That's where the guilt comes in. And, you know, they, you know, and I keep instilling upon them that, you know, when we're powerless to defend ourselves, we're powerless physically to defend ourselves, there is no shame or guilt. It's you know, it is what it is, and it is a wound emotionally. And, you know, it's up to us to understand the bigger truth. And the bigger truth is that when we're powerless, we can't have guilt associated with the fact that we were powerless in our response, the way that we dealt with it. Because if we're powerless, we're powerless. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no guilt in being powerless, because a 10-year-old is not supposed to have the ability, or a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, of fighting for themselves, defending themselves. You know, they just, you know, it's not possible. So that's where sometimes the guilt comes in. And in my class, we bring in the guilt in order to look at it, take ownership of it, and then making a decision of this question. I call it the million-dollar question. And the million-dollar question is, when is enough enough? Meaning, how much longer are you supposed to hold on to those feelings because they were never meant for us to hold on to for the rest of our lives.
So, you know, this is really important for people who are trying to make these changes in their lives, especially those that will be going home someday. But the ones that aren't going home, it allows them to reestablish some of those relationships or to be able to close the door and say, I'm done, not going there anymore, but to be able to be at peace with themselves and not have to go through this over and over again, because we tend to beat ourselves up over the years until we come to that stage where we're going to forgive or we're going to move on, no matter what it is, something different altogether, to make that change, to do something differently than the way we've done it before. You know, we've been talking a lot about feelings and how those feelings of abandonment and feelings this time of year, I think some of us all have a little tendency to get melancholy, or we think about the past, or what could have, should have, would have, you know.
Yeah.
Has that come up this time of year about like feelings of this time of year, or what the men and women that are inside, what they expect this time of year, and those ups yeah. and downs?
Well, yeah. We, you know, the all of us around the holiday season have certain hopes and expectations that may or may not be fulfilled. You know, for example, Christmas cards. It's kind of, I'm laughing as I'm saying Christmas cards because, you know, I'm on this app, this Getting Out, you know, GTL, Getting Out, the application. And I have a click with some inmates and we communicate on a regular basis. And a couple of them have asked for stamps. You know, hey, Rob, can you send me a book of stamps so I can send out some Christmas cards, you know? And by the way, I mean, I do accommodate certain people, you know, based on their situation. I understand that, you know, money, getting money isn't always sometimes as easy for some men as others, depending on their family's financial situation. So I kind of have a heart to that. But here's the deal, you know, we shouldn't set ourselves up for disappointment. And we have zero control over the holidays. We know how people are supposed to act. We know the gestures that people are supposed to make. We know that if somebody's going to visit us, that time of the year would be a special time of the year for us. But we can't, you know, we shouldn't set ourselves up for disappointment, because here's the deal. We have no control over the actions of other people. And past actions sometimes are a road for predicting the future. You know, people that don't show up when we need them, we can say, hey, it's predictable based on that I may not get a visit that I deserve, or I might not get a Christmas card or the greetings that I want. And you know, it just goes back to the old rhyme that life isn't always fair. And, you know, we can decide, to let that neglect or that person who doesn't visit us to emotionally affect us or not. And we just have to understand we have no control over that, no control over that. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of people are self-centered and selfish. I mean, they really, really are. You know, there's a poem by Mother Teresa. I'm looking around my desk to see if I have it handy. I don't see it, but perhaps I'll find it during our conversation, Valerie. But it talks about, you know, the fact that people are often self-centered. They often think about just themselves. They often don't take responsibilities for their actions. And at the end of the day, it's between them and their higher spirit, their higher being. We need to be happy anyway. We need to be at peace with ourselves anyway, because all we have is ourselves. And, no one's going to love us as much as we have the ability to love ourselves. You know, no one's going to make peace for us in our lives as well as we can make peace for ourselves. So, you know, it's on us to decide, you know, how we choose emotionally to be when we wake up in the morning and we brush our teeth. You know, it's for us to decide, how do I want to feel this morning? And we can feel any way we want to. It doesn't matter where we're at. All right. We can feel any way that we choose to feel. And we deserve to be happy in our lives. We deserve to be people who live with content and peace in our lives. This is a gift that we were created with. And, we need to remind ourselves of that. Self-love, self-care, and just remember that, to love ourselves. If we get that visit, if we get that card in the mail, hey, that's great. I mean, it's just another brownie point to add on to the day. But, you know, let's not let the day be a dark day because we didn't get that brownie point. You know what I mean?
I want to make a quick comment while we were talking about cards, because we have listeners that are both on the inside and on the outside. And for those people that are on the outside, there is an app on the phone called Flickshop, FLIKSHOP. And they are not a sponsor or anything. I use this company because they're very convenient. You can send cards. It's a postcard. And they send it directly to the facility for you. And you can download pictures on there. You can put pictures of the family or friends, or it could be a picture of a Christmas tree or whatever you want on there. And it averages almost $1 a card, I think. But yeah, part of the service is you can send an anonymous card to somebody who does not get mail.
Wow.
So you can say, you know, if you want it to go to a male or a female, it can be just somebody who doesn't get mail, someone who's requested mail, or somebody who's been in segregation for a long period of time. So it's a really good service, and it's cheap. If somebody wanted to do a good deed once a month, send out a couple. It's a couple bucks a month. So, you know, Flickshop, like I said, it's a pretty good thing, and the guys that are getting them love them.
I got a question for you. So if I myself, I'm interested in maybe – sending some cards, if I knew of some people that requested some cards, you know, that, hey, I just want to be acknowledged. I want to be recognized as a human being, and I don't have a lot of resources in my immediate family, for that. So when I go on there, it sounds like you've had experience going on that app. Is there a place on that app that you can actually find people who have requested to receive some communication, you know, whether it's anonymous or not?
I believe so. I don't think they provide them with who it came from, though. I think it does say that it comes from an anonymous person.
Yeah, yeah.
And it might be because they might be high risk, you know, and there's a reason that they don't get regular correspondence. Yeah. But it still gives them that idea, wow, somebody thought of me, you know, even if it's an anonymous person.
Someone took the time. I'm cared for, right? I'm cared for, you know, there, you know, that, I mean, it's going to affect them in a way that will bring some level of joy for some, even if it's just for a split second of joy. Hey, you know what? That's cool. I mean, it's a godsend. And, I had no idea about this app. I had no idea about
this. Another cool thing is you can sponsor somebody. So if somebody wants to make a $10 donation, then they will sponsor a family. So if a family has requested for some free, I don't know what they call them, free credits, then the company sends them 10 for free when they sign up.
Oh, cool.
So they also help the families that can't afford to do it. So it is, it's a pretty good service.
So I just want to make sure, I wrote down the name Valerie. I just want to make sure that I do have it spelled correctly. So it's F-L-I-C-K shop.
No C. F-L-I-K shop.
F-L-I-K.
So it's F-L-I-K-S-H-O-P.com.
Cool. I can tell you what I'll be doing before I hit the sack tonight. I'll be going on that website and checking it out. You know what? Just little acts of kindness go such a long way.
They really do. And that's something that I think we've talked a lot about during our sessions here together, and talking about forgiveness and, you know, just be kind. I mean, it only takes, you know, what, a couple of seconds to smile at someone and say good morning or, you know, open the door with a smile.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one more thing I want to add on real quick, Valerie, and I know we're running low on time, but one more thing I want to say. If you feel a connection to someone, but they don't connect with you over the holidays, continue to connect with them, even if it's only one-sided. You know, and I'll tell you why, because you're going to give them a dose and a reminder of what kindness feels like, what kindness looks like by, you know, sending someone a postcard or reaching out to someone and just saying Merry Christmas. You know, even if it's someone that you may know in advance, probably won't respond. You know, let me tell you something, right? You can help people learn their true identity by being the first in line to reach out and to give them a dose and a reminder of what caring feels like. And maybe as they continue their journey in life, they'll figure out that, hey man, you know what, I need to bring that more into my own life, and this is a reminder of my need to be able to reach back out to someone, you know. So it's a learning lesson when you're kind to someone and you have the maturity to understand that, hey, you might not get anything in return, but you know what, keep the kindness going, because it's a learning lesson for those who are going to be receiving it.
I think it feels good to be kind too.
Hey, it really does. It really does. You know what? I remember going into a Denny's fairly recently during the prison work. And, you know, it was so interesting when I got my check. I'm sitting at the counter of this Denny's restaurant. I get my check and the server, really nice server. And she wrote me a little note on a napkin, you know, and she said, you know, it was a pleasure serving you. My name is, and she wrote down her name, you know, hope you'll come back and visit Denny's again soon. You know, we value you as a customer. And so, you know, I put a few more dollars into the tip because of that, because I just felt like that was really special for her to take the time to do that. And the other thing is I told her that. I said, hey, I just want you to know that I read your note. And that was so kind of you, you know, and there's no doubt that, you know, when you're not working, that you're that same person, you know, when you go home to your family or, you know, whatever it is, that you are that same person. I just appreciate you, you know. And, you know, I know that I helped make her day into a better day because of acknowledging her kindness, you know. So you can really be kind to people, and it doesn't take going out and buying presents either. You know, just acts of kindness. That's what it's about.
Right. It's funny because I actually have made comments to a couple people that I've had to deal with on the phone, taking care of some business, that they were very pleasant and helpful. And they said they don't hear that very often. So remember our customer service during the holidays.
Yeah.
People get grumpy and take it out on their help. And, you know, remember they're human beings and have the stresses just like you do during the holidays.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Valerie, I'll tell you
well,
something.
Well, Rob,
I always
oh, go
enjoy.
ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I always enjoy having a click with you on this podcast. You know, and just talking about life in ways that hopefully our listeners are going to, you know, take to heart and just sit down and take a few moments and breathe it in and just say, you know what, I got something out of this. You know, we're all students, including myself. And you know, it's all about just helping each other. That's what this world needs more of, for sure.
Yeah, and I want to remind our listeners that you do have a P.O. box, is that true? Where they can write you?
Yeah, I do have a P.O. box that people can write to me if they want. Sometimes in prison, people ask me, how do you get paid? I am an unpaid volunteer, so I don't ask for money, and nor would I get it. No prison's going to say, oh, by the way, on your way out the door today, we got a check for it. No, that's never going to happen. But the letters, if I receive letters in the mail, you know, I consider that my paycheck. Yeah. Is it cool to give out my my P.O. box
address? It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's 15411 West Waddell, and that's Waddell Road. It is a P.O. box, but it's also a mailbox business, so I have to put Suite 102, and then beside that you put Box 137, and then the city is surprised, just like it sounds. Surprise, surprise! So there's a town in Arizona called Surprise, and the zip code is 85379. Yeah, thanks for allowing me to put that address out there. I love hearing from people. Definitely.
All right. Well, again, we've had Rob Corbin with us for the last 7 episodes. We've been talking about leaving the emotional cage and how important forgiveness is in our lives. I really have appreciated having Rob taken the time. We've really had some remarkable conversations, and we hope to hear from our listeners and would love to hear your questions and comments about what we've been talking about. So I don't know what I have in store for the next segments coming up, but I have a feeling we'll probably come back and visit Rob again.
Hey, I hope so. I'm around. I really have enjoyed our podcast together. And the door is open on this end, so I appreciate what you do for the men as well, Valerie. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank my listeners. And again, I will be back with some new programming next time around.
And happy holidays.